Hey there, Michael.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
I am fantabulosi. How are you?
Oh, you know, I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there, my friend. So, we have a guest on.
We do.
Clifton.
Hello.
Please announce and introduce yourself to our lovely listeners here.
Well, my name is Clifton, last name Keplinger, and pretty much I'm here because I'm a gigantic Patrick Roan fan.
Oh, man. look,
that's
don't
why I'm blush. Here.
I don't need to blush today. I didn't put on my makeup.
Close second would be Mike. Long time ago, I got into figuring out why I obsessed over getting rid of things, and I figured out that that was called minimalism. And then... And then I said, hey, I have this Mac, and I rather like it, so I Googled minimalism and Mac, and I ended up with Patrick Roan. And the rest is history.
Enough. Yeah, guys, it's the SEO gurus. They gave me that, I couldn't do it without them.
Of course not.
we're going to do one of our special segments today. So, Patrick, if you want to do...
Before we explain why
Clifton is a special case, I feel that there's something very important that you need to take care of.
And that is, Clifton, thank you for joining us on How Bare Is Your Air? Woo! All right.
Never get old. Never going to get old.
It really doesn't, no.
That's awesome.
So we got Clifton on to do our regular segment where we get to ask him how bare his air is. The conceit of which is that we have our guest on and we say, you're going to get a 64 gigabyte low-end MacBook Air. What are you going to do with that space, considering that you have constraints? How are you going to manage those things that you need without those things that you don't need? And, it's worked well so far for, I don't know, a few dozen episodes like this. But my friend Clifton here, being a self-proclaimed Patrick Roan fan, and I got to find out who this Patrick guy is and talk about what he's doing right. Because trust me, I could recount the many things that I do not live up to there. So a while back, I kind of proposed an idea of like setting an app limit, like using that as a constraint to see exactly how much you could get away with not having, really kind of testing out the question of need and that balance between want and need.
I believe that episode was five apps on a Dropbox.
I believe so. Yep. And as I've written before, and I'm saying this mainly so I can link to it in the show notes so that people have complete and full disclosure, five apps was a MacGuffin, right? A MacGuffin is the thing, it's kind of a colloquial term used mostly in movies where it is a plot device that really is oftentimes used to throw you off of the real thing. Right, it's the gun that's shown in the first act because it's got to go off by the third. It's the it's the Maltese Falcon in the Maltese Falcon. It is the Kaiser Soze of the usual suspects. Right. So the MacGuffin could be anything. Right, and that is the case here. The number five was a MacGuffin. It doesn't matter whether it's five, whether it's 10, whether it's 20, whether it's 5,000, the point was set a limit and try to live within that limit and see where that gets you and see how that changes the way that you think about things. My friend Clifton here has done just that. He took that advice to heart. And so this is going to be, I suspect, one of the most interesting how bare is your airs of all time. I'm ready for it. Clifton, go.
All right. Well, like I was saying before, this isn't quite so bare, but I am within the restraints. I'm running 36 gigabytes out of 128. I have an 11-inch Air with the 4-gig RAM and 128-gig drive, like Mike. And I went really bare, down to 2 apps, in fact. Yeah.
So what I have to ask you, so what 2 are they? I mean, we have to get you right there and ask you that.
It was down to text editor and a photo editor. At the time, it was BB Edit and Pixelmator. But I was cheating at that time.
Now, what do you do for a living, Clifton?
I create interactive media, mostly video, websites, ebooks, that type of thing.
Nothing to interact with there, man. That's bare bones. That's just crazy talk. Okay, go ahead.
But like I said, with the MacBook Air, it was kind of my secondary device because I had a 6-core Mac Pro sitting next to it. So I had all my heavy stuff being used by the Mac Pro. And what got me to the Air in the first place, I had a MacBook Pro, a 2008, and I was using that with my Mac Pro. And I decided to take a lot of people's, you know, advice with the iPad and say, well, the iPad can replace a laptop. So I replaced the MacBook Pro with an iPad 2. But for me, it was not enough. I didn't have the storage I needed. I didn't have a way to, you know, move things around. And I really missed the mechanical keyboard. I do not write like Patrick writes, but I do type like Patrick does not. I average around 100 words per minute, and I have a stack of keyboards like Patrick has a stack of notebooks. I have an Apple M0110 sitting right next to me, which I think is the epitome of Steve Jobs products. But anyway, so I kept looking for that replacement for the MacBook Pro. I knew the Pro wasn't quite it, but I wanted something else. And then I saw Gruber talk about the MacBook Air as the iPad Pro. And that's kind of what I was looking for. So I was like, and between, you know, you and everybody else basically talking about how great the Air was, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do this thing. So I end up with the, you know, the MacBook Air. And I went through kind of stages of learning its potential uses. At first, when I got it, again, I was calling it the iPad Pro. So I cloned the iPad and tried to make it that. Well, then I figured out that I just limited myself in the same limitations I had with the iPad, only now I had a keyboard. So then I kind of cloned the Pro. But then I kind of found that even though I had a lot of the same apps, I was not using the Air with those apps. I had gigs and gigs and gigs of humongous applications on the computer that I was not using. So then I went extreme barrier, and I went, like I said, down to a text editor and a photo editor. And that it was actually fairly useful that way for me. But then I was like, well, let's, you know, I'm not really utilizing the computer the way it could be. So I turned it into kind of a workflow step. So, you know, if I go out and shoot a video, then I'd ingest it into the Air, kind of get it ready there, and then swap over to using the Pro to finish the production. But then I thought, well, there's one more step we can go here. And this is, you know, along with Patrick's purpose-driven concept and making your own limitations. So I decided, let's make it all work on the Air. Forget the Pro. Let's make it all go on the Air. So to do that, I had to add a Thunderbolt display. I needed FireWire, I needed a bigger monitor to do HD video, those types of things. But the only addition was basically making this from an 11-inch Air to a 27-inch Air. And with that choice, then I had to go, okay, well, the 128 gig hard drive is kind of a misnomer because I could easily live with a 64 gig, and you almost have to go to the 256 gig in what I do to really make the internal hard drive useful, or SSD. So I'd be just fine with a 64 gig. But at the same time, it was, okay, I've got to make this computer efficient because I'm using, you know, a quarter of the computer that I was before. So, I had to choose apps that I wanted to live with long term and provide a unified work experience with the Air, with Line, with the 11-inch screen. That was another thing. When I'm out in the field, I'm now using this 11-inch screen instead of a 15-inch screen that I was used to with the MacBook Pro. So, you know, making purpose of the apps instead of having, you know, and this is something you guys have talked about a lot, but, you know, instead of having the dock with all my apps there, I rely on Spotlight to where I, when I sit down on the computer, I have a reason to open an app and use it. I use OmniFocus to, for the rest of my work experience, again, to hone in on that purpose. And as I said before, my purpose is to create interactive media. So that's very broad. I mean, there's a lot of things involved here. So to go down quickly on the app list, my, you know, with interactive media, of course, there's a lot of things come into mind. And, you know, the computer, of course, comes with the ability to easily go to the App Store and download iLife. Well, iPhoto isn't really enough. I do professional photography on a very quite large scale with, you know, product photography, this type of thing. I can't tether with it. I can't do the things I know how to do in the editing process. It's not like I'm going, oh, well, I'd really like these extra features. It's I can't do my job without those features.
Understood.
So instead of iPhoto, I have Aperture. Now, that was a hard choice because I've used Lightroom since its pre-beta version in 2006.
One of those people.
And I recently, as in the last month, switched to Aperture. I like a lot of things about it. I'm not begrudging. I'm still having to make the transition from Lightroom. But the reason I did that is because I've gone into the whole hog, what I'm calling iLife Pro, which is, you know, Final Cut Pro X or 10, Logic Pro, and Aperture in unison. And this makes the whole experience that much better because I'm now using unified products. And when I go from one to the other, it's very easy to transfer that media. Whereas when you're using Lightroom, it's a little bit more glitchy to pull that into Final Cut. Or if I'm using Persona Studio 1 instead of Logic, it's a little more glitchy to move things around. So, for example, when I'm doing a catalog layout in InDesign, I need to pull large image files from Photoshop. I need to pull illustrations from Illustrator. I need to pull all that together. And that, you know, the Adobe Creative Suite makes that work just like, you know, iLife Pro pulls all those files together. The same with the Adobe Creative Suite. I can make that all work in unison very well, and it's you know, obviously a benchmark tool that everybody uses.
Well, and I think, you know, once again, I think it's important to point out here that what we're dealing with is that the goal of this is not really to take away that anything that anyone needs to get real honest work done. The goal of this, I think, of this entire exercise is to do what you have done, which is to think long and hard about the best way to get your work done. What works, what doesn't, and what you really absolutely need versus what you don't. I think that's an important takeaway point, that's all.
Absolutely, and that's the thing is I regularly now find myself going through all my apps and saying, do I use that every day? Do I have to have that on here? And it's just become a habit now. If I put something on to try it out, I'll go back 2 weeks later and say, have I actually used that? If the answer is no, it's off.
What makes you want to do that? Like, what do you feel that you work smarter and better, or do you just want to keep things clean?
I think it's a matter of both. It's very easy, and you find this a lot if you look on somebody else's computer, especially those who do work similar to me. They'll have three or four, you know, sound editors. They'll have, you know, they might have Photoshop, Pixelmator, Acorn. You know, it's one of those things, because Pixelmator's cool doesn't mean I need it on there if I have Photoshop.
Yeah.
And vice versa, I don't have to lock myself into using Pixelmator if I really need Photoshop. But that doesn't mean that, you know, somebody listening to this can't get by with using Preview.
Right. Well, and I think too, you know, so one trick that I often do is, you know, I'll download this thing that I need to use for a project. I'll, you know, purchase it even, you know, because maybe the trial version has some, you know, limited, you know, some feature limitations that don't allow me to do the thing I need to do or whatnot. But I'll keep the .dmg file. I mean, the wonderful thing about the Mac and the way that a lot of applications are delivered, and this is, you know, even more so true now with the Mac App Store, is that you can very easily delete things and then reinstall them. I mean, in a matter of seconds, right? And so a lot of times if it's something I've downloaded, I'll keep the DMG file on my home server so that, you know, should I need this in the future, it doesn't have to live on my air, right? I can, and I can very easily just, go to the software directory on my, you know, server, log in, you know, double click, open up this thing, drag and drop to my applications folder. Boom. Now I've got it again.
And I can use it again. The App Store is incredible for that. I mean, I do that all the time with especially utilities. Like, for example, Daisy Disk. I love Daisy Disk, but I don't need it on there all the time.
I don't need Daisy Disk all the time.
No. Right. So, but anyway, you know, they're one of the begrudging application sets that I have on is iWork. I use Pages a lot. Numbers I use to open other people's Excel files. Now, in their case, I really like Keynote. I do a lot of things with Keynote.
Keynote's kind of, you can, it's kind of one of those tools that you can, how do I describe it? Do you remember a tool that used to come bundled on a lot of the Mac laptops? I believe it became bundled on with the MacBooks for the longest time, called Comic Life.
Yeah.
I believe was that by Plask or?
Yeah, Plask.
Yeah.
Made so, Skitch.
Yeah. Okay. So Comic Life. I used to use the heck out of Comic Life because it allows you to manipulate text in ways that you had to be have fairly advanced knowledge of Photoshop to do that stuff in Photoshop.
You could just stretch things.
You could like stretch text all around and create
this
really
great noise.
Yes, this really great stretching noise when you did it.
It's a great app.
It was a great app, and I used to use it all the time to like make headers and stuff like that for websites and whatnot. Mm-hmm. People go, "How did you do that? That must have taken hours." I'm like, "Yes, but it took seconds." I mean, it's just amazing. And it was one of those, like, I used it not to make comics. I used it to manipulate text and then copy paste that into Photoshop and make a header out of it, or, you know, not Photoshop. Right. I never used Photoshop, but Acorn, for instance.
Right.
But you get what I'm saying. And Keynote is kind of like that, right? Where you can build these things and then use them for other things.
And Keynote is so well defined. I think it's one of the few apps that Steve Jobs personally had his hand in. You know, like, no, we need to fix this. No, this needs to be better.
Yeah.
And it just seemed, you know, that was what he used. If there's any Mac app that he used and had to be on show with, it was Keynote.
Yes.
And so I don't, of the whole iWork, Keynote is the bomb. You know, that will not come off, even if Numbers comes off now and then, or Pages may or may not, but Keynote's always there.
Yeah.
There's some leftover miscellaneous here as far as apps go, but they're a big part of my workflow. Omni Outliner Pro is
Pro. Oh my gosh. I haven't heard anyone mention that one before. That might have to be one of my five, actually. I don't talk about it enough.
No,
it's great because, I mean, like on Note Capture, I mean, this is something, I forget who now, but, you know, somebody brought up to me was like, you probably work better if you would record your notes versus trying to sit down and write them, because I'm not a writer. I mean, that's not what I do. Mm-hmm. And so with Omni Outliner Pro, you have that function. You sit there, hit the mic, record what you want to, make your note, and it's in your outline. Mm-hmm. I use it for all my first stage keynotes. So I make the very quick text outline in OmniOutliner, save as keynote, open in keynote, bam, I'm ready to go. Brainstorming, project management, every project I do is outlined in Keynote and kept up with and checked off and everything else. The iPad app is amazing. So, I mean, OmniOutliner Pro is a big one. My text editor, which I don't live in quite like you do, I pretty much keep it for doing code work. I use Pages more for writing in because I feel more comfortable there. But for text editing, I use Sublime Text 2. It's a beautiful, beautiful app. Pretty much everything that I don't like about all the other text editors, I love Sublime Text 2. You have full screen, distraction-free mode, beautiful themes. It does everything right for me. Sound Studio 4, it's one of those things where Logic and Sound Studio 4 might seem as confusion, but they aren't. Sound Studio 4 is a very different purpose. I use it for capturing, for editing small two-channel projects, anything like that. Sound Studio 4 is probably used more than Logic. Xscope, which is a great design tool.
Xscope saved my butt on several occasions. Yeah.
I cannot live without it. I'm a little OCD when it comes to lining things up and making sure they're centered right and everything. Right. And Xscope is there for me.
By the way, for what it's worth, that's another one of those that I keep on my software server and just install as needed. I don't need to have it around all the time, but when I'm working on a web project, it's like, okay, I need Xscope. Here we go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Transmit for FTP. Is there anything else?
No, not really.
We don't have to talk about it.
We don't believe in anything else, no.
Hype, which is not a commonly used app, but I use it kind of like I use Keynote for prototyping websites, for spinning out some dirty HTML5 code if I need it. It's a nice little tool to just play around with the HTML5 stuff.
Gotcha.
It's very easy to use. So those are the apps. It's not a few, it's not five, but it fits on the air.
More importantly, these are things that you use on a regular basis, like regular enough that they are worth having, worth keeping around, and most importantly, you've questioned them. Nothing has been spared the possibility of the chopping block.
Exactly. And I have chopped things that I would never thought about before I started this. I mean, Lightroom is chopped. If you'd asked me 3 months ago if I'm going to stop using Lightroom in 3 months, I would have said no. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But to step through real quick, like, for example, if I need to create a catalog, a print catalog, my project management goals and outline are done with OmniOutliner. I capture the images in the studio and edit them in Aperture and Photoshop. Produce the text and pages, produce the illustrations in Adobe Illustrator, lay out and publish the catalog with InDesign, and it's printed. If I need to produce a product video, again, it starts out in OmniOutliner, capture the images in the studio with, Aperture, edit the photos in Aperture and Photoshop. Illustrations and titles are done in, Illustrator and Motion, which is part of the Final Cut Pro suite. Produce the script and pages. Capture the voiceover with Sound Studio 4, create the music soundtrack, mix with the voiceover, the final mastering and mixdown in Logic Pro, and then produce a video with all those elements in Final Cut Pro X, publish a compressor, and we have a video.
That sounds perfectly straightforward.
But then
I mean, that's the whole point, right, is that you have this boom, 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 boom flow, and every step that you just described probably just is second nature to you, right? Like most of us, brushing our teeth, that's what that is to you, right?
Well, and that's where again, I'm not encouraging people to put these apps on their computers, but if you have a workflow that is using all your apps in this nature, you're good, know. It's the same, if I'm developing a product landing page for a website, it all starts out in the same thing. I just add, you know, there's a couple steps. I might have to do some code in Sublime Text too. I might have to upload files with Transmit. I'll probably end up doing the, you know, final layout in Safari with Squarespace or WordPress or one of those things. And along with this comes with the fact that now this MacBook Air that started out as kind of my plaything because it started out as my iPad replacement is now my sacred space. And, you know, I'm commissioner of our community life ministry at our church. So I'm serious about community and I'm serious about sacred spaces. So I've treated the Air in the same way. So there's no games. I have a separate iTunes file to where, you know, I can use two iTunes files. I either have one that's connected to my FireWire drive so I can, you know, use that with the Apple TV to have movies and everything else. But then I have my day-to-day iTunes file that just has the music that I want to work with. There's no Flash. I don't have Google Chrome on the computer. I don't have any books. But this, you know, this liberates me to focus on the task at hand, whether that be watching a movie or work. You know, I'm able to separate those things.
Right. Well, I mean, I think, you know, I've been following kind of your progress with this on Twitter, and you know, as you've mentioned it and such. And I mean, it was a while ago, quite some time ago, that we asked you to come on and to see someone kind of take up the challenge and apply it, and to now see kind of how it has organically grown from there. Actually, I find quite fascinating. I hope that our listeners can take a bit away from. So,
it's amazing to me that this $1,000 11-inch MacBook Air that fits in my pocket just replaced a Mac Pro.
Yeah, I know. That's just, we live in the future, my friend. We live in the future. So we, we should probably wrap it up here, but before we let you go, anything you want to shout out, promote, or anything else while you have the ear of at least three or four people?
I would say in the next 2 to 3 months, a lot of my work is going to be coming into one concentrated place. And a new website I'm developing for a company called Hybrid Audio, hybrid-audio.com. And I've already done a lot of the work on the present website, the media and everything else, but we're ramping this up into that space. And I think we're going to be doing a lot of cool things there.
We can see the fruits of labor from that MacBook Air actually live and online.
Exactly, and everything, it's not in its current state, but here by April-ish, everything that is there will have been done on a MacBook Air.
Perfect. Sure. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Clifton, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
This has been a lot of fun. And, you have now officially been played on How Bare Is Your Air?
I feel like I'm part of history.
My history, at least.
Exactly.
All right. Well, take it easy. And Mike, thanks for joining in and moderating this discussion.
No problemo. Always a pleasure.
All right. We'll talk later.
We will. Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
Cheers.